This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we're just 26 days from the presidential election. Have voters settled in on their choice? Are we seeing any trends develop? Pollster Scott Rasmussen joins me for that conversation. And so what do you do when the scientific facts don't support your claims? Do additional research? Change your claims? Or do you just intimidate the researchers until they hide the facts? The nation's largest homosexual advocacy organization, the Human Rights Campaign, has chosen the latter. Adam Kuyper, editor of the New Atlantis, is here to explain. Also, my friend Kirk Cameron is here with news of a nationwide event that he has coming up this coming Tuesday night. All of that and more on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more by going to that website about today's programs, and lots of resources there for you. Again, the party platform comparison is there, both the video of it and a downloadable PDF that you can share with friends. So again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right. Every day, you're hearing more about polls. This poll, that poll. Here's a poll, there's a poll, everywhere is a poll. All right? All about the race for the White House. Well, joining us now is a man who knows quite a bit about polls, Scott Rasmussen. He is the president of Rasmussen Media Group and a senior fellow at King's College. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's always good to be with you.
Well, okay. Let's start with a couple of questions here. When we're looking at these polls, are voters now starting to settle on their choice for president?
You know, there are some base voters who will vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton no matter what. And there's an awful lot of people that are still unsettled. The events of last weekend, the release of the videotape about Donald Trump, and seemed to shake loose a lot of reluctant Republicans. He seemed to win some of them back after the debate on Sunday. But we're still in a pretty fluid situation with Hillary Clinton having a clear advantage.
Now, she has some issues of her own with this steady drip of WikiLeaks. Emails that are being, something like a Chinese water torture with these things coming out every day. Is that affecting her?
You know, I think it affects her, but not in the same way. For one thing, Hillary Clinton has been a political figure at the highest levels of national politics for a generation. There are people who love her and hate her, but her image is not subject to change as much as Donald Trump's. And on top of that, and this is a sad statement I'm about to relay, but people assume bad things about politicians. That's part of the reason they want somebody who's not a politician. And so when you send out some of these stories about what Hillary Clinton is doing, a lot of the people are just, well, that's unfortunately the way politics is. So I do think it's a big negative for her. I think we could end up in a situation this year where neither candidate reaches 50% of the vote, and if Clinton is in fact elected with less than 50%, she would join her husband, who was elected twice without ever getting a majority of the popular vote.
So, Scott, let me make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Are you saying that these issues that are coming out about Hillary Clinton do not affect her as much because she's a politician and people have lower expectations, where Donald Trump has not been in the arena as a politician, and so these revelations are more damaging to him?
That is correct. And I don't want to say at all that the WikiLeaks information doesn't damage Hillary Clinton. They certainly dim enthusiasm. They could have an impact on turnout, especially among millennials. But they are not the same type of impact that the revelations and the news and talk about Donald Trump is having. You know, what we saw quickly after the videotapes came out, the people that I call reluctant Republicans, the ones who were just coming along, finally getting used to the idea that they could vote for Donald Trump, began to have second thoughts, and that seems to be where we are.
So, Scott, let's go back for a moment to what you're talking about, how there, after these revelations, both on Donald Trump and to a lesser degree to Hillary Clinton, that it has shaken loose some reluctant supporters. How does that compare in terms of where we are 27 days from the election, the fluidity of support going into these final 3 weeks? How does that compare to past elections?
There's a lot, things are a lot more unsettled in this election, and it starts with the fact that both candidates are viewed unfavorably by a majority of Americans. It's just harder for them to solidify support. And I think, you know, you and I have talked before that one of the problems here is those voters who aren't committed dislike both of their choices. Probably the most stunning example I've seen recently of how this phenomenon is playing out came from a Utah poll showing Clinton and Trump tied in the very Republican state of Utah, both with 26% of the vote. And Evan McMullen, a BYU grad, just 4 points behind as a third-party candidate. It is possible that there's enough volatility out there that McMullen could win the state of Utah.
Of course, that's a state that normally goes red into the Republican column, so that affects more the Republican candidate.
I should clarify that. If I'm going into Election Day, it looks like it's still very close and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are competitive and we don't know who is going to win, Utah will vote for the Republican. They will vote for Donald Trump. However, if going into Election Day, it looks like Hillary Clinton is going to win and Trump doesn't have a chance, it wouldn't surprise me if some Utah voters decide to just send a message that that they're fed up. That would be one of the shocks. We haven't had anybody other than a Republican or a Democrat win a state since 1968. And that would be a little bit of a message of how fed up people are.
I think you're right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Scott Rasmussen. We're discussing the latest polls, where voters are 27 days from the election. And, Scott, do we see any trends emerging, any trends developing here that we should be watching?
You know, there was the trend before the first debate that was moving very strongly in Donald Trump's direction coming out of that first debate. He took a hit, and I think the second debate was a much stronger performance by him. So the question that we should be looking for is, can he improve on that heading into the final debate? And can something happen in that final debate that can keep this trend going? But at the moment, we're not seeing it. At the moment, it looks like Hillary Clinton has built a fairly solid lead, and a lead that, barring something to change the dynamics of the race, will be hard for her to lose. Having said that, the other surprise, and the thing I'm watching more closely than those numbers, is what's happening in the U.S. Senate. 1 week ago today, I would have said to you that the Republicans, amazingly, given all the seats they have to defend, look like they were going to retain control of the Senate. And after the Trump revelations last week, I wasn't sure what would happen in the Senate, especially when you have, you know, Kelly Ayotte and Donald Trump warring with each other. She's the senator from New Hampshire in a very tight race. So far, it looks like the Republicans are remaining competitive in the Senate races, and I don't know what's going to happen with the Senate, but I think it's going to remain very tight for control. If you start to see those numbers slip, then things would be, for people who are concerned about the Supreme Court, it would be very devastating if the Republicans lost control of the Senate.
What are your projections, given the unsettled nature of this election cycle, the fact that two candidates, extremely high historical negatives, what are your projections when it comes to voter turnout? Are we going to have a low voter turnout in this cycle?
I think we'll have a low voter turnout, yes. And, you know, I think the other thing, you mentioned my new affiliation with King's College. I'm very excited about that. It's a Christian university located right in New York City, And we are focusing on trying to identify community-driven solutions. What I do think is happening is people are coming around to a recognition that something has gone fundamentally wrong, and they don't know what to do about it. We're going to be looking for ways to identify some hope and optimism because there's not a lot of it in the political arena right now.
I don't think you're alone in that view. I think there's a lot of Americans now today that may be stepping back and looking at our politics, but I think we've got to go a little bit deeper than that. And I think my view, Scott, is that what we see in our political landscape of America, which is distasteful to so many, is really a reflection of who we've become as a nation. And I think this should be a wake-up call to go right back to the source. And it's not politics, but it's to the core cultural drivers of our country, and that would be the church and the home.
Well, I don't think we're disagreeing at all. Culture leads and politicians lag behind. And there has been a mistaken belief fed by many in the media that really politicians determine the future of our country. It is determined in the culture. It is determined. One of the things I've been talking about is governing is far too important to be left to government alone. Every institution and every relationship in society plays a role in governing our nation. My wife plays a role in governing my life, and I play a role in governing hers. And every institution and organization we're a part of has something to do. And we need to go back and do some of that, take some of that responsibility on ourselves, rather than thinking the answer will always come through the political system.
Yeah, without question. In fact, I believe, my view is I've now been in this realm for 20 years, is that the problem we're looking at, it's staring right back at us, because I'm talking about Christians, the church, that we have disengaged the culture. We've retreated from the conflict and also the ability to shape our culture and our country because of that conflict that exists. And we have
several years ago, around Christmas, I did some surveys and looked at the fact that Christians, evangelical church-going Christians, had retreated. In fact, fewer than half had friends outside their church, close friends outside their church. And this had a huge impact because people who are not Christian base their views on what a Christian is like on the people that they know. And if you are not out and engaging with people outside of your own safe haven, how are you going to influence the culture? It's very difficult to do.
Absolutely. Scott, we're out of time. As always, great to talk with you. Thank you for stopping by.
Look forward to talking again.
All right. Scott Rasmussen. Check him out at TonyBurton.com. New project going on at King's College. Check that out as well at TonyBurton.com. All right, when we come back, what do you do when the facts, scientific facts, don't back up your opinion? Change your opinion, do more research, or bully the researchers? We're going to talk about it when we come back. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we notice with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
A special announcement from Kirk Cameron.
As I travel to churches across the country, I hear it all the time. Moms are concerned about their children's futures. Dads know the nation is on the wrong track, and they wonder, is it too late for America? There has never been a more exciting time to be a Christian in America. On October 18th, we're having a national family meeting. It's called Revive Us, and it's going to be happening live in hundreds of theaters all across America. We'll worship together, led by Passion and the Vertical Church Band and my daughter Isabella. We'll pray together with Miss Clara from the hit movie War Room. And we'll hear from Pastor Francis Chan, Dr. Ben Carson, James McDonald, Eric Metaxas, Jennifer Rothschild, and even have a live question and answer time answering your questions from the theater.
Be a part of this unique event. Get tickets and more information at reviveus2016.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. A new survey by the American Psychological Association, I share this given our previous topic, shows that the presidential election is causing stress for many Americans. Really? I didn't know that. Well, Dr. Lynn Bufka says those that identify as either Republican or Democrat reported that the election was a source of stress. She adds that there aren't any major differences when it comes to gender, race, or ethnicity. Dr. Bufka says it's important to stay informed, but not to feel like you have to read or watch everything. That I would say amen. She recommends taking a break from politics if it's causing stress and doing something you enjoy. Maybe like looking for another country to move to? Yes, take a break occasionally. Maybe take a break to pray as we look at what is on the horizon. Okay. 2 scholars with the well-known Johns Hopkins School of Medicine recently released a report finding science provides no evidence that people are born gay or transgender. That's in keeping with previous research. But the Human Rights Campaign, America's largest national lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer advocacy organization, has threatened to, quote-unquote, penalize Johns Hopkins University if it does not denounce the report. Here to discuss it is Adam Kuiper, a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the editor of the New Atlantis, a quarterly journal about the ethical, political, social, political implications of modern science and technology. Adam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Good to talk to you.
Well, fill our listeners in on the story that you wrote talking about the research that was done at Johns Hopkins and now the pushback that's coming.
Well, as you said, Tony, the publication which appeared in the journal that I edit, the New Atlantis, is called Sexuality and Gender, and it lays out the findings of over 200 scientific studies on hot-button subjects related to human sexuality and gender, including questions connected to whether a person can be born gay and what the science tells us about transgender children and adults. It's obviously a controversial subject, but the authors, these two esteemed scholars, treated it entirely dispassionately and simply looked at what the science says and characterized the science. There's no politics, there's no policy. You would think that wouldn't be very controversial, but these are, as I say, hot-button subjects, and the Human Rights Campaign did not only criticize the report, but they distorted the report. They distorted the report repeatedly. Among the things they said, the Human Rights Campaign claimed that the report says that sexual orientation is a choice. Well, the report, in laying out what the science says, does not make any such simplistic claim. In fact, it explicitly says sexual orientation is not a choice. It's much more complicated than that. So in attempting to slander and smear the report, they really distort what it says. They don't even get the number of pages right. They can't even get the most elementary facts right. But the distortions are only half the story. The Human Rights Campaign wasn't satisfied at stopping there. They wanted to threaten Johns Hopkins if the university did not disavow the report and its findings and the scholars who wrote it. And the only leverage that the Human Rights Campaign could use in its attempt to force Johns Hopkins to disavow the report is something called the Healthcare Equality Index. This is something that the Human Rights Campaign puts out, and it rates different hospitals around the country on how they serve the LGBT community. This is the sort of thing that, you know, all sorts of private organizations rank hospitals, rank universities. There's nothing wrong with a private organization ranking other private organizations. That's fine. Except you would imagine that they would have some standard, respectable criteria by which to judge these different hospitals. But here is HRC saying, if you don't disavow this scientific report, we are going to alter Johns Hopkins' rankings in our healthcare equality index. That is, it seems to me, not only evidence that the healthcare equality index ought to be questioned and maybe isn't really valid, whatever its methodology is, isn't valid, but moreover, this is a blatant attack on academic freedom.
Sounds like extortion to me when they're holding this over their head. There's no objective standard, as you pointed out. But, Adam, this is not new. They do the same thing in corporate America. They just recently did the same thing in North Carolina over HB2, the public safety bill there in North Carolina. They've been doing this to corporations there. But the two problems here, as you talk about the issue of using this arbitrary standard that obviously is flexible to be used however they want, but I thought the left was all about science. What's the deal here with rejecting the science and not just putting up another study to compete with it, but simply if they can't compete with it, they want to denounce it?
Well, it's complicated. I would say the left and the right each have complicated relationships with science. And in this case, you're seeing where science pushes back against some cherished notions of those on the left. And there are countless studies that say all sorts of different things. What this report attempted to do was to look at what the best science, the best studies, the most comprehensive studies show. And can I tell you, this is what's most fascinating and mind-boggling to me. Some of the responses that we have gotten since this report was published. On the one hand, we've been contacted by scientists and by journalists and by people who know this field well, and they have said, there's nothing new here. Everything you've published is well known in the scientific literature. On the other hand, we've gotten emails from people saying, congratulations on the courage that you've shown in publishing this. That's remarkable.
Hey, Adam, we're up against the break. I want to thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Hey, folks, don't go away. We're right back. Have a break.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, it looks like the big news for the rest of the week, maybe into next week, is going to be China. Now, there are some talking about an October surprise. If you listen to my program, you're not going to be surprised by anything. There isn't anything that I don't believe we've covered. Now, there could be some sort of black swan event out there. But if it's a black swan event, then it can't be a surprise because nobody was expecting it. But the big story is China again, and I hate to belabor this, but it's not a big story for you if you listen on a regular basis. I've been talking about China now for 2 years, and I have talked specifically since January about exports in China. It's really the only real indication that we will ever get out of China. But unfortunately, the economists that are doing this analytical work on China have gotten to a place where they actually are believing what the communist regime is saying about the economy. So maybe because of that, they're getting caught by surprise. The only true indication we have, the only thing that we can really watch, are the numbers being exported. That's it. That's what gives us the only accurate indication of what manufacturing is doing, what unemployment is doing. That's what helps us in the China economy. And exports drop again 10%, 10% for the month of September. That is a massive drop and has got everybody a little concerned.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. By the way, I think earlier I said 27 days. It's 26 days to the election. So, just vote, all right? Some of you are already voting. But 26 days until the election, if you're conservative. If you're liberal, it's 27 days. All right. A little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines. But first, there's a special event coming up next Tuesday night. People of faith across America will converge on movie theaters for a one-of-a-kind, inspirational live event entitled Revive Us. Now, the gathering is presented by Fathom Events in partnership with My Faith Votes. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment with Kirk Cameron. He's going to be joining us to talk about this event that he is spearheading and how you can be a part of it. If there was ever a time that we needed to be revived, it certainly is now. As a nation, when you, as we were talking about earlier with Scott Rasmussen, that, you know, people are disgusted with the political climate, and rightfully so. How did we get here? How did we, we have stuff being talked about in presidential debates that, quite frankly, wouldn't have appeared in Family Hour not too long ago. Back when I watched TV a couple decades ago. It's just you wouldn't hear this kind of stuff. But now it's commonplace. And people are right to be upset by the revelations and what they hear, because it does challenge our sense of moral decency. But at the same time, we've got to stay focused on what to take. This is the choice we have. And then a lot of people are stressed about that because it's like a bad choice. And we have to make it, though. Because just because we've allowed things to digress to this point to where it is totally distasteful does not mean that we can disavow our responsibility.
doesn't mean that we can just say, well, you know what, things are so bad and morally reprehensible that I'm just going to walk away. Well, again, we have to go back to the question, or ask the question, why is it morally reprehensible? It's because we fail to be the salt and the light. And I know we've talked about this a number of times this week, but you know, I'm continuing to hear some quote unquote Christian leaders who are coming in here at the last minute, kind of parachuting in to save the day by saying that Christians shouldn't be involved because neither of these candidates meet the moral choice as outlined in Scripture. And I agree with that; they do not meet the standard. But why are we left with these two choices? It's because people parachute in at the last minute and they're not involved in their communities. They're not involved in the political arena of the country. They're not speaking out at the workplace. They're not speaking out in the community from the pulpits. We've got to do that. All right, we've got my friend Kirk Cameron now. Kirk, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be talking with you. So excited. All right,
I was just telling folks about the event you have coming up this coming Tuesday night, Revive Us. Well, tell us about it.
Well, Revive Us is a totally unique night in the movie theater. I visit churches all across the country. I teach marriage conferences, and I hear it all the time. Moms are deeply concerned. It's no secret. America is in trouble. Dads know the nation's broken. I just heard the phrase today, the United States of Anxiety. And people wonder if we're in the last days of this great nation. And I want to say that we're in a very difficult spot. It's the 12th hour, but it could be our finest hour because it's when things look the most hopeless. That's the point in the story where in the past, God has parted the waters. And I believe that this could be a Red Sea moment for us in our America story. And we could step forward and do what we were put on this planet to do. It's going to be difficult, but I'm calling a national family meeting. And Ben Carson, Eric Metaxas, Francis Chan, James McDonald, Jennifer Rothschild, we're all coming together, broadcast into 1,000 movie theaters Tuesday night, October 18th, for a night of hope, vision, and courage to worship and pray and learn how to revive our nation from the inside out and the bottom all the way up to the top.
Well, I agree with you. In a moment of greatest challenge, it can be our greatest, a moment of greatest opportunity if we look to the right source.
That's
and
right.
That is what is key. And so how can people find out more about being a part of this event?
Go to Revive Us, and there in Psalm 85, you've got the Will You Not Revive Us Again, O Lord. Go to Revive Us. 2016.com to get your tickets. Find out the theater near you at reviveus2016.com.
All right. Kirk, we're up against a break. I want to thank you for joining us. It's always great to talk with you. It was good seeing you at the Values Voter Summit. And I'll be looking for you on the big screen next Tuesday night.
Thanks so much, Tony. See you at the theater.
All right. Kirk Cameron, check that out. Revive Us. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. See how you can be a part of the event. But we've got to look up, because that's where our help comes from, the Lord. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines and hear from you on this Thursday afternoon. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Since September 11th, 2001, America has been at war. And that's about all anyone can say with certainty about a conflict that has cost 7,000 American lives and almost $2 trillion. As long as the most basic strategic questions, such as who is the enemy and what are we fighting, remain unanswered, victory is impossible. Yet this war is eminently winnable if we remove our ideological blinders and apply basic strategic principles. Our enemy is the global jihadi movement, a modern totalitarian ideology rooted in the doctrines and martial history of Islam. America has defeated totalitarian enemies before, providing a desperately needed dose of clarity. Counterterrorism expert Dr. Sebastian Gorka shows how we can do it again in a recent talk at FRC headquarters in Washington, D.C. Dr. Gorka's bracing, troubling, but ultimately encouraging lecture, entitled Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War, can be viewed at frc.org/war.
The gay agenda, Islam, liberation theology, aggressive socialism. You ask yourself, how should I respond to these attacks on my Christian faith? How can I share Christ in a sinful culture? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. An online Master of Arts in Apologetics from WBS will prepare you to defend and share your faith in an increasingly hostile world. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning challenge culture. WBS.edu.
It's our first liberty, freedom of religion. An easy way to show your support for the First Amendment is with the Freedom of Religion buttons from the American Family Association. They're conversation starters and demonstrate what it means to have religious freedom in America. They're also a way to bring attention to how the First Amendment is under assault today. It needs support now more than ever. Get a pack of Freedom of Religion buttons at afastore.net.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel. While excavating a pagan temple in Tel Lachish, Israeli archaeologists unearthed a stone toilet. It's believed the toilet was purposely put there during the reign of King Hezekiah to allow Israelites to defile the pagan temple. Hezekiah is known for eliminating pagan worship throughout the kingdom of Judah, and 2 Kings 10:27 says he tore down the temple of Baal, and people have used it for a latrine to this day. The ruined pagan temple at Tel Lachish and the stone toilet are dated to the rule of King Hezekiah. Leave it to our infinitely wise God to use something as mundane as the discovery of a toilet to speak to the historical accuracy of His holy word. To listen to our weekly program or to receive a free trial subscription of our magazine, Israel My Glory, visit our website, foiradio.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. Okay, I'm going to throw you a curveball here, all right? Now, I made reference to this study earlier about how Americans are stressed. American Psychological Association, new survey, I should say, that the presidential election is causing stress for many Americans. Dr. Lynn Bufka says those that identify as either Republican or Democrat reported that the election was a source of stress. I can verify that. It is. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to talk about politics on the phones. It's Thursday. We haven't done this in a while. It's Thankful Thursday. Okay? Here's what I want to hear. I want you to give me something you're thankful about. Tell me. Tell us all. Tell the world what you are thankful for. All right? 866-372-7234. Thankful Thursday. What are you thankful for? Let me tell you what I'm thankful for. And you know what? This is, of course, we're told to enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise when we come before the Lord. And there's a reason for that. You know, a thankful heart, in my view, is a healthy heart. And when we thank the Lord for all that He's done, I'm thankful for Him. I have a wonderful wife of over 30 years. Wonderful marriage. 5 wonderful children who know the Lord, pursuing Him. I get to work with great people at the Family Research Council, great team. Yeah, there's challenges, but there's so much to be thankful for. So, what are you thankful for on this Thankful Thursday? 866-372-7234. Let's reduce the stress and take a break from what we're not thankful for when we look at the presidential race, and let's talk about what we are thankful for. We're going to go to Missouri. Where is that, Gasper? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Well, what are you thankful for today?
Well, I'm thankful that we have faith, and that helps us to face the stress that we the everyday face because of this election, particularly today. And definitely this faith will help us to move forward despite whatever may be the outcome of the election. But having said that, I try calling you to talk about briefly about this election, why I support Mr. Trump. I support him because from the history of Israel, I found that God raised up King Jehu. King Jehu was someone like Mr. Trump. He was in the same mold of King Ahab and Jezebel. But God chose him despite the fact that he was not a prophet, nor an evangelical kind of person, not like someone like us who were pursuing holiness or sanctity of life. But God chose him at that point of history so that he can really reset the everything, wrong things done by King Jehu and others. So that's the reason why I thought I will support Mr. Trump, and I'll continue to take on this stress that we go through at this time. And by faith, I will go and vote that Mr. Trump will get elected. You know, because what
All
we
right.
need at this time...
Jasper, thank you for calling, and I allowed you to work that in there. Although, I'm gonna ask you all, unless you're thankful for it. Unless you're thankful. Now, he said he's thankful for freedom. And we have the freedom and the ability to choose our own destiny, our own future as a people. We can choose our leaders, and I should have asked Jasper where he's from, but that obviously is something that some people cherish more than others, and it certainly is something to be thankful for. And to his point, yes. There have been those in history. We talked about, we didn't talk about it, but Winston Churchill, not known to be a Bible-believing Christian, but God used him, really, to save the free world in World War II. All right, Jasper, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. We're going to go on to Ohio, where Charles is on the line. Charles, what are you thankful for on this thankful Thursday?
Hey, brother, I'm thankful that I don't have to vote for Hillary. No, I'm just kidding, man. I'm thankful that it is, this is the first time that I have actually, well, second time that I've voted, the first time that I've cared, 45 years old, never really had before. So what this election has done is it's made me think more, question more. I've grown closer to God. I've started reading more into the Bible, questioning things of the Bible, learning more about that, and growing as a person. And I'm thankful for that.
Wait a minute, Charles. Let me ask you, because of this election cycle, that's prompted you to do more of that?
Yeah, it is. You know, I was against Trump. I was against Hillary. I was for Cruz. He was gone. So I had to start thinking less of the person, as you say, more of the platform, you know. So it's got me into thinking more deeper into that and everything, really, you know. So like I said, I've also been thinking more into things of the Bible and reading things that people take out of context. And so I'm just thankful that it's helped me grow.
Well, I'm thankful for that. You know what you just described, Charles, is you described you've been developing a biblical worldview. When it comes to politics, you have been analyzing it through the lenses of Scripture, which is what we're supposed to do. And so I'm thankful for that and thankful we've got a part to play in that. Charles, thanks so much for calling. That's really good. All right, folks, we're on a roll here. Let's go to Arkansas, where Rob is on the line. Rob, what are you thankful for today? Rob, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm thankful that that there's the hymns and the praise music that, in the midst of all the mess and wherever my head is, I can worship God and I can sing out loud when I'm in my car by myself and just worship God and go back to what I'm created for.
Absolutely. I should add that to my list. I'm thankful for my iPhone, not for everything about it, but I do have all of my praise music on there. In fact, this morning as I was headed to the airport, I was listening to Celtic Praise. It is good to get our minds and our hearts recalibrated through praise. And really, that's an amazing stress reducer. When you're at one of those really low points and
discouraged, just to begin praising the Lord. It's powerful. It's powerful. Rob, thanks for that. It's a great reminder. All right, let's go to Texas where Janet is on the line. Janet, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I'm thankful that I found you because it's led me to all the other stations on AFR, but you have opened up everything for us that we need to know, and you have blessed us beyond. And I'm so excited and thankful that y'all have stretched across the country. I know that God is going to bless that.
Well, thank you, Janet. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. And folks, spread the word. Let others listen to Washington Watch. And if they don't have a station in their area, they can petition their local station to carry it, or they can listen online at TonyBurkins.com. Janet, thanks so much for listening. Let's go to Mississippi where Terry is on the line. Terry, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you today, Tony?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I met you Sunday. I'm the old Marine pastor from Mississippi that got to come down and worship with y'all Sunday. And what an amazing, amazing church. Greenwell Springs, the choir is, it's what an opportunity. My wife and I spent Sunday there worshiping with you. But we come back at night and got to go to the other ice cream social and your guest speaker. This flood has brought so much togetherness in the Baton Rouge area, a city that was so divided racially. And God works his wonderful, wonderful, using people and situations to bring people together. I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to come down there and share the Word of God with people and help them rebuild a community, but rebuilding souls. It's what an amazing opportunity. And I thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. I thank for AFR. I thank you for what you do. But I praise God and give him all the glory.
Well, thank you, Pastor Terry. I appreciate that. And thank you for coming down and volunteering to help people rebuild their homes there in the Baton Rouge area that were affected by that devastating flood. Terry, thanks so much for listening and for calling, and I look forward to seeing you again back at the church. Terry made reference to, I'm currently serving as the interim pastor at Greenville Springs Baptist Church outside of Baton Rouge, which is my home where I spend my weekends. And we had a special service this Sunday night. The Baptist, you had to have ice cream or some kind of fellowship on a Sunday night. But we had my favorite general, General Jerry Boykin, was there along with the Values bus that's been traveling across the country. And so we had a great Sunday night service there as well. In fact, folks, if you're in the Baton Rouge area, I invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. here at Greenville Springs Baptist Church. All right, we're going to work another call or two here. Let's go to Kentucky where Frank is on the line. Frank, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony.
How are you, Frank?
I'm blessed. You are too, Tony. I'm thankful for my salvation. A long time, years ago, that Jesus saved my soul, and I'm really thankful that I can get up every morning and give God the praise all through the day. I can praise the Lord and be in His presence, all the time. And I thank God for AFR as well. And I thank God for my wife and my family.
Well, I would ditto that. You know what? If you know the Lord, and as you pointed out, knowing Him as your Lord and Savior, beyond that, everything's settled. Yes, there's some rough spots. You go through some challenging times, but you know when you know the Lord, been forgiven of your sins, and you've been brought into a relationship with your Creator through Jesus Christ. You've got everything lined out, and that means He's going to walk with you. You've got the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and so even in the most difficult of challenges, you can have peace in knowing that your future is secure. And folks, if you're listening today and you've never had that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, find that inner peace and that hope that transcends all circumstances, it's real easy. Just acknowledging that you are a sinner and you need a Savior, and you recognize that Savior is Jesus Christ. And you reach out to Him and you invite Him into your heart, into your life, to be
your Savior and your Lord. Most important decision you'll ever make. All right, we're going to work in a few more phone calls here before we run out of time. Let's go to Mississippi where Delissa is on the line. Delissa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I knew I was next because you said the word settled. And it is in the scripture that I'm going to say I'm thankful for. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word upon this earth. And that scripture reminds me that we will never have a problem on earth that heaven has not solved. And all God's promises are yes and amen. And I am thankful for his word.
Amen. Melissa, thank you so much. His word, it is unchanging. You can anchor your life to it because it does not change. It is here. It is eternal. Great reminder. You know what? I'm also thankful for the stations that carry Washington Watch. Janet made reference to us spreading across the country. We're on the American Family Radio Network. We're on Bot Radio Network. We're on Crawford Network, and other independent stations. So we're thankful for those stations that help us take this message to the American people so they, too, can be informed on what is happening across our nation. All right, I'm going to go to one more call here before we run out of time. We're going to go to North Carolina where Matthew is on the line. Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good to have you on. I want to be thankful for my wife today. She is the driving force in our family for a lot of good things, and including an upcoming international adoption. So,
congratulations!
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm so thankful for her and all the wonderful things that she does, and for keeping me close to my faith.
All right, Matthew, thank you so much for sharing that, and again, congratulations on the upcoming adoption. I can only echo that. Myself, as I mentioned earlier, if you're blessed enough to have a spouse, a godly spouse, it doesn't hurt to express your appreciation to them because you're blessed. You really are. I'm blessed. As I said, over 30 years, I kind of wonder where the time has gone, but it just keeps getting better and better. A wife of 30 years and 5 children. A future that is secure, anchored on God's unchanging word. How can you not be thankful? Yes, there's a few speed bumps between here and eternity. But you know what? It's all good. It's all good. Folks, let's take a break every now and then and count our many blessings. Name them one by one. God is good. All the time. All right, folks, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.